Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Not my problem. That's just not my problem. Not my problem. That's just not my problem. Hey, this fucking shit. But guess what? That's not my problem. Sorry, most
okay.
Def Daughter song right stuck in my
What
head.
Gen Z pop group is this that I'm now too old
That
for?
is, oh my God, that is Layla. She's 20 years old. She's Most Def's daughter. She's actually really talented. A lot of her songs are like TikTok viral. She had the "Do you want me? Do you wanna love me like that?" So shout out to you. She produces all her own songs, makes her own beats, but that song, Not My Problem, has been stuck in my head.
I love how my best friend is who keeps me abreast on the Gen Z newings becoming.
Yes, but R&B, not the rap, because you know I don't do the rap. So you keep me up to date with that, because I don't know any
I
of
don't,
the rap.
I do rap, but I don't listen to the Gen Z rap.
Ooh, no, that drill, that no, I can't. I can't, my brain.
Mark listens to that drill. I can't keep up with it. It's just too aggressive.
Ooh.
Too aggressive.
Not us.
No. But how's life been? How's everything going, best friend?
Welcome back. You know what? We're black and blessed. We are just trying not to crash out the end of 2024. I don't know about y'all, but I have caught my quarter four, like, saying no. So, like, I've just been saying no a lot more, and I've been a lot happier. Like, I can't do this right now.
Right.
I don't want to or not volunteer myself. But I'm getting ready for Turkey Day, getting ready for Thanksgiving. And me and my son, I think we're going to take pictures and send them to you guys. So get ready.
I feel you, girl. I am just claiming my power, not allowing any circumstances of who's in office, who won an election, or any of that to determine my mental state. Or even just how I see myself and all of what's mine, it's not determined on things of that nature. It's all within me. So I have
That's
really
it.
just been claiming that every single day, despite being busy and sleepy all the time. Even when I'm sleeping, I'm busy.
Listen, because you're thinking about all the stuff you have to do. When you're not asleep,
yes.
Literally have to make myself go to sleep so I cannot think about tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. So listen, we doing it. One thing about the best friends, y'all, we be busy. We don't just
we
be
do
sitting
it.
There, okay? We do a lot of things. We have calendars and schedules.
If it's not in my calendar, I'll forget it.
Listen, don't ask me to go to dinner and it's not on my calendar.
I either have to have it in my calendar or I have to set a reminder in my phone to remind myself.
Speaking of, let me set one now.
Right. To remind yourself of something. Right. It's true.
Yes.
Okay. And on that note, next on our schedules is to get into our weekly grab. Okay, best friend, what documentary are you watching right now?
You know what? You would be proud because this week we have all comedies. You touched on it, but basically I've just had to retrain my brain to not be news in depth and like obsessed since I work in that world to kind of like when I get home to get away from it.
Right.
So my first show on my weekly grab is like one of the funniest new shows I've seen in a long time. It's on FX/Hulu. It's called The English Teacher. It's only one season out, 8 episodes, 30 minutes each. It's an easy, quick watch, but it is the funniest new show I think in a long time since Abbott Elementary. Reminds me a lot like that, but not a documentary series. It is around this gay English teacher who is in Austin, Texas, and it just shows his life teaching high schoolers. He's best friends with one of the teachers. His ex-boyfriend was a former teacher and he quit. And it's just like the ins and outs of him trying to navigate being single, his phobias of commitment, and also just being an English teacher with Gen Z. So it's funny that you speak of that because the funniest moments are these kids. There was this one episode where this girl was like, I just am so triggered by everything because I have asymptomatic Tourette. Like these kids are
Yes.
hilarious, what they make up, the diseases they make up, the jokes they make up.
Yes.
So it's heartwarming to kind of see the take of the community of his teachers, his coworkers, him navigating dating, being single, being an out gay teacher, but also like current events with the young kids. Trixie Mattel does a guest appearance and she
Oh.
plays a drag queen named Shazam, but she's also a thief and she steals everything. So it's a hilarious, like if you just need a show to watch, but you want to get your mind off of things, watch it. And shout out to one of my favorite comedians, Langston Kerman. He plays a gay guy and he's so straight, married with two kids, but he's so charming that he gets away with it. So he posted that he was in the show and I was like, let me give this show a try. I'm so happy that I did. It's just a funny show about the gay teacher trying to fight for rights because it's still Texas and there's still a lot of things they're doing that are not culturally correct, but also navigating his own messy dating life. A lot of funny teenagers, him and his best friend's relationship is funny. It's just a really good, funny show. I have two more episodes to finish. There's only like eight episodes the first season, but please give me a season two. It is hilarious. There was a gun club and he wanted to get rid of the gun club, but then they got rid of it for the students, but then started teaching the teachers, and then he fell in love with guns. So it's just funny tidbits everywhere, and the teenagers are really relatable because I know teachers today are probably annoyed with Gen Z. And like they tape everything, they do everything. Because when we were in
Yes.
high school, we didn't have that. Ooh, we aging
Right.
us. Anyway,
I
we didn't
know.
have the Snapchat, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all of that stuff. So if you just want a feel good, funny, quick, easy show that'll make you laugh no matter what, The English Teacher is on Hulu. You need to watch
I've been
it.
hearing great things about it, so I am going to check it out. I'm seeing it on our Hulu accounts.
Yeah, ah, Hulu.
Because I'll go on to watch, I'm watching Abbott and then I'm putting on Doc McStuffins for Marley. So
Yes.
I've been seeing the English teacher, and I'm gonna check it out for sure. For sure.
Yes, if you love Abbott, you're gonna love The English Teacher.
Yeah. And more shows that amplify teachers because they need to be paid more. So yeah.
Oh, 100% agree. What is on your weekly grab? First up.
So first on my weekly grab is a new show on Amazon Prime. It's called Cross, based on the James Patterson novel series on the character Alex Cross. So if you can remember, there was previously movies starring Morgan Freeman as Alex Cross. The Tyler Perry had a short-lived experience as Alex Cross in a movie.
He did. I
Yep,
remember.
that didn't last. That didn't last long because nobody went to go see that movie. But now they have reignited it, and this time as a crime thriller television series on Amazon Prime, starring the sexy Aldis Hodge as Alex Cross. It's really, really good. It just premiered the whole season one. It's already been greenlit for season two. It just premiered on Amazon Prime last week, and me and the husband have already binged like halfway through the season. So really good. Takes you more in depth into the Alex Cross character on like his family dynamic, his process of grieving. So the show kicks off a year after his wife was murdered on while he was on a double date with his best friend and police partner, Samson. So the wife got shot and murdered. And so now a year later, he's still dealing with that. They have two young children that he's raising as a single father with the grant with the help from his mom, the grandmother. And now he's dealing with this crazy psychopath serial killer that is also playing off the fact that of his wife's murder. And just kind of toying with him and his family, And it's kind of throwing him out of whack because, you know, he is known for being this, really good detective who is able to get into the mind of a criminal, particularly a killer, and get them to confess and, own up to what they've done. That's how the show starts, with one of the scenes of you seeing him being able to interrogate a racist white man that some of his other police partners weren't able to get to crack. So now you're seeing him crack and lash out in emotional outbursts as this deranged serial killer messes in with his mind, and it stems from how he's grieving his lost the his murdered wife. Really good show. Aldis Hodge's sexy, great acting, great plot lines, and it's new. It just started, and it was already greenlit for a season two. So it's not like we need you to watch it so it has a season two, but we need you to watch it because it's black men leading the cast, and so you got to support all things black, but also in general, it's just a good show. James Patterson is known for this character. So if you really like crime dramas, mysteries, good acting, good storytelling, check out Cross on Amazon Prime. You will not be disappointed.
No, shout out to you and your interview, your little post for Black Enterprise. I saw it and I thought, you know what? I'm gonna give that show a chance this season because to your point, we need to support our people and leading roles. We are good enough and he is fine. He is very
Sure
much
is.
fine.
Yes. What's next on your weekly grab?
Another new show on my weekly grab. I've been trying to give the newer shows some love because I feel like they struggle in the fall season. So I'm like, let me give some new shows some love. This one is on ABC. It's called High Potential. It is based on a novel about high performing persons with a IQ, so whereas they're geniuses because of their level of memory and retention for things. It stars Caitlin Olsen from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. She plays Morgan, who was a cleaning lady, but works at a police office, a police station. She works for the LAPD cleaning their bathrooms and stuff. And she helps them solve crimes. So they hire her as a consultant. And so what she does is she goes with the detectives to figure out a crime, and the memories, the things that she's able to retain helps them to solve these crimes. But she's also a single mother of three, trying to raise her kids and just do better because her life hasn't been great because of her having this high IQ. She retains everything. Sometimes it works for the best, but sometimes it works against her. What I love about the show, one, is that it's interesting to see a non-traditional cop show because she's not a cop. She hasn't gone to school for it, but she is a consultant. So she figures out scenes of crimes that the cops are missing. She's able to look at the blood spatter and remember an article in 1982 about how the blood only goes this way. And she's able to remember things about like the mountains in 1865. And I love that as a woman figuring all these things out, but it's also heartwarming because her first child's father disappeared and everybody thought he ran away, but she has the cops as a condition of her working for them. She wants to prove to herself and her daughter that something actually happened to the father and that he didn't just run out. And so it's very heartwarming. The last episode, there were two people who tried to prove the innocence of one of their army civilians, but they did it by holding everybody in the police station hostage. So you see her do her job, help out. She's not traditional, but she also just gives me a new interest in a cop. I've never been a cop show girl, but I just really, really like how it's a cleaning lady, but now she's also like, no, I'm really, really smart. So don't doubt that. So if you want some type of drama, a little bit of suspense, but also something that's really funny and has really quirky ways, High Potential is really good. They've had their winter finale. It gives me very Will Trent vibes. You know, I love Will Trent coming back in January. I cannot wait. But it gives very much Will Trent vibes. And so far, so good for my fall new shows. So High Potential on ABC comes back in January. But a good kind of whodunit show with a twist because the main character is a cleaning lady.
Well,
Yeah.
it sounds good. It sounds like a good comedy, and Also good storytelling too, which is what we want, what we
Yes.
need.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So next on my weekly grab, y'all know me, always with reality television. That is still my favorite, even though I watch the scripted stuff too. So Potomac, The Real Housewives of Potomac. I am thoroughly pleased with this season, season 9. Y'all know season 8, I had to check out. It was just too infuriating. And season 9, it's like a breath of fresh air. They brought in new energy. They got rid of some old people. But y'all know last season I was calling for the removal of both the GIBs. I wanted Giselle and Robin gone. They only got rid of one. They got rid of Robin, not Giselle, which I totally understood because Giselle actually brings something to the show. Robin was literally bringing nothing. Other than like that stale storyline with Juan, they wasn't giving us nothing. If they would have gave us something, then I would have said she should have stayed because she was at least married. But
Agreed.
they gave us nothing. So now we have Giselle. And what we're seeing to me, and I'm wondering, is this the redemption arc of Giselle? I'm like wondering, why has she become likable all of a sudden? Is she like changing her tune? Is this really who she always was? And we just couldn't see it because Robin was around, staying in the energy, as well as Candace. I'll even put Candace in there. Was Candace staying in the energy? It just seems like more of what the show started as and what it is supposed to be as a housewife show. We all know it was getting really dark these last couple of seasons with the colorism and just even the vicious attacking on only just certain cast members. And it was coming from Giselle, right? Like Giselle just wanted to have an issue with Wendy. It didn't matter what Wendy did. She just didn't want to like her, didn't want to communicate with her, nothing. And it just was coming off extremely nasty because it was just like, really, what has Wendy done? But now you see a whole new tune. And just from what I'm gathering and even just looking at what people are saying online, you know, some people are thinking like this is who Giselle was and Robin was bringing down the energy. Others are saying that Giselle had a talk, you know, had to have a talk with producers and she was issued like a little ultimatum. And now she's kind of changed up her tune so that she doesn't lose her job because she sees they don't mind letting people go. You're never bigger than the show. But yeah, I just find it interesting. And then I think now because of getting rid of that, whatever Robin wasn't bringing. And to me, I don't think that Candace brought down the energy of the group, but at the same time, she could be so vicious with her mouth and then in the same instance start crying. It just kind of just throws the energy off, you know? So now with her gone, with Robin gone, Giselle, you know, switching up her behavior. Now we're just, to me, I think we're really able to see like Ashley is such a sour apple. And really, what does she bring other than just being a sour apple? I've been wanting Ashley gone too. I've been wanting Ashley gone too with her sour apple size ass head. But now we're just able to see it even more, even more. But I definitely wanted to know your thoughts.
I agree about Giselle. I feel like if you think of all of the franchises, I don't think neither one of us are OC girlies, but there's never been like a Batman and like Robin-esque, like two people always together like Giselle and Robin. So
Right.
I think one, Giselle has this freedom to not be like so indebted to her BFF. And I think she's forced to go and meet with other people. But also, I think to your point, I think producers was like, look, you have no storyline. So you gotta get along with people. You have to meet people. You have to talk to people. And she is so refreshing because she's not spending so much time defending Robin or trying to be arguing with Candace. I think she's just a breath of fresh air. She's so likable, especially like the arc with her and Wendy. I like how it was like, you know what? We weren't the best of friends. We're not even BFFs now, sorors or not, but we can tolerate each other and we can respect each other. And to your point, love Candace, but I felt like Candace was a big wedge because they both had to have their friends back. I agree with you 100% on that. And I don't miss Robin, don't miss Candace. And Ashley's storyline, like she was on Watch What Happens Live, she's literally waiting for the reunion to tell us she got a divorce. That's how much of a storyline she doesn't have.
Girl.
Like, she said, I'm gonna update everybody at the reunion. Girl, just say you got a divorce. Like, girl, you have nothing to talk about. Like, you have nothing going on. You're not dating. You're not working. You like are trying to sing. Like,
I
you
could
don't need her
really
either.
see the end is near for her because these new girls are just bringing it. And it's like, what do we need her here for? Like the little dig, you could tell Andy was annoyed with her response about asking Kiana about her scar and her still claiming like, oh, I just wanted to know about her skincare. And it's kind of just like, all right, girl, what do you really even bring? We don't really need you to stir the pot. There's other ways that people are just naturally stirring the pot because we got
Yeah,
crazy,
I think
crazy
she
ass
thought that
meat.
was gonna read. I think she thought that was gonna be like a, oh, but it's too sensitive of a subject to do that. And I think the difference between like an Ashley and a Giselle is you don't have a storyline, but you don't know how to coexist. I feel like Giselle is social. She could coexist. She can do interviews, but she also knows how to bring people together if they're arguing or kind of put her two cents in. Ashley just has nothing but her bunions.
Period.
Like, what can she do besides, like, you're not doing anything? But I agree. I really am loving Potomac. Like, I'm on track. Love the new energy. Besides some ghetto-ness, some Zeus Network people on there. I love Potomac this season. It's giving. And I love the chocolate-ness. I just love all these chocolate women. Like, I love it personally as a fellow chocolate.
Agreed. Okay, well, what's next on your weekly grab?
Last on my weekly grab is yet another new show, but it's a comedy show again. Like I said, we're trying to laugh at the end of 2024 because this past few weeks have not been funny. And it is St. Denis Medical. If you know me, I'm an Office stan. Office is my comfort show. So it's like The Office meets Grey's Anatomy. It's a documentary show based in a hospital. I don't know if they say to where I'm. It stars my favorite uncle, David Alan Greer. I will watch almost anything he stars in. Anything he's in, I will watch. And Wendy McClelland Covey from Bridesmaids and Reno 911. Basically about a hospital, the nurses, and how they operate. It is funny. It's witty. It's new. I think it's a slow build-up, but it's getting there. And I just like the fact of like David Allen Greer, I'm gonna be honest. Like he makes a show for me. He's the head doctor. He talks about how, some of the nurses and some of the people there are taking it too seriously. You could also see a budding romance. It's not as funny as The English Teacher yet to me, because that's my favorite new funny show. But it is two episodes in, 30 minutes. It's on Peacock slash NBC. And I really love how one of the doctors is obnoxious and he plays like the Beastie Boys before he does surgery and everybody hates him, but he doesn't know that everybody hates him. It's just funny as hell. And it's on network TV, which I'm also trying to give network TV another go because I feel like we be on Netflix and Hulu all the time. So I'm also trying to watch a lot of network TV shows. But St. Denis Medical is probably going to be one of those new funny. It's the highest rated comedy show on NBC that was not following football. I love TV so much, I read articles like that. So I know it has about 4 million viewers in its first few weeks. Just another funny comedy. And like I said, we do need more Black people. They have my auntie Lynn Whitfield star in it because the David Alan Greer thought that the young Black girl was trying to date him, but she was trying to hook him up with her grandmother. And it was Lynn Whitfield. And he was like, she's too old for me. So he was like, I like him 34 to 45. So it was just a really funny take on like hospital life, what happens, what doesn't happen. But it also kind of, I don't want to say sad, but it's real because it's like, yeah, our healthcare system sucks. And like you see people who were there, they make this lady wait forever to see somebody. She ends up collapsing in the parking lot because she didn't get help at the right time. So it's like funny, but not funny. So if you just need something to watch that will take your mind off of things, but also make you understand that like our healthcare system needs a lot of freaking help. The St. Denis Medical, St. Denis Medical is it. I really like it. And I hope you guys watch all the new shows because we need more second and third seasons for our Black people.
Yes, we do. So,
More TV for us.
yes, other than Abbott Elementary, like we make good content. So, please watch it.
Last on your weekly grab.
Last of our weekly grab is another crime drama. I am a little late to the party because the season finale just aired and everyone's loving this show, but it is The Penguin on HBO Max. It's everything that you hear. It's been getting nothing but rave reviews, and that's what got me to watch it. I knew I wanted to watch it with my husband because he likes crime shows. So I just was like, it was the two shows. I was like, there's two shows I want us to start watching, and it was Cross and Penguin. And we love both of them, but I will say that Penguin is his favorite of the two. And it's just so good. It's such good writing, such good acting, very cinematic. To think that this is Colin Farrell dressed as like this, like kind of heavy set penguin walking, you know, like he's because he has disabilities, he has a physical disability, he has a gash in his face, super Italian, and it's Colin Farrell doing this, just filled with nuggets. So it's basically playing off of that Italian mob type theme. But we're talking about the come up of the Penguin, who we know as a villain in the Batman world in Gotham, which is like a sensationalized New York City. And this is clearly early Penguin because he's a foot soldier. He's not a kingpin. He's not the top dog in the mob, right? He is working under the family, working for the family. And basically, he's such a conniving individual, and he's just trying to turn everybody against each other, and doing it by just getting into people's ear. The show kicks off with him murdering someone, a huge component of the crime mob family, and now he's trying to cover that he did the murder and make other parties think the other person is involved. And it's just a lot of manipulation, lying, betrayal, backstabbing, but still just really good acting. Really, really, really good acting. I haven't finished it yet, but because I am late and I'm always on Twitter, you know, social media has always already ruined it for me. So I am aware of like who dies
Oh no,
and
I
to that
hate
extent.
that.
I know, I hate it, but I'm still keeping the secret for my husband because he doesn't know. So I'm just like just watching it with him. I still don't know technically what happens. I just know someone who dies. But it's still so good. Like even with having it spoiled, it's still just really good. Just building up. So I'm hoping that because of the rave reviews and how much people like it, that there is a season two. I would think that there should be a season two. But it ties into what we're seeing with the Batman franchise of them, you know, 'cause it's not like the Batman that we grew up with, right? When even though Batman has always been a bit dark, like the best Batman, Michael Keaton, Michael
Yes.
Kington,
Mm
you know, it was still lighthearted in that kids could watch it. It was for children. I just don't think these new age, starting with the Heath Ledger Joker, The Dark Knight, it's not, to me, it's not for children anymore. It's just really been for adults. And then the new Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, these are just darker stories. So now we're seeing the story of the Penguin. We've been following the story of the Joker, the other Dark Knights. So the new Batmans are just darker as well. Now the Penguin has his story. I'm guessing that in the near future we'll see the Riddler, and you know we know Dr. Freeze, you know Poison Ivy, the other villains in Gotham City. But the Penguin is really, 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 really good. If you haven't watched it yet and you're hearing all the good things about it, watch that damn show. It is amazing. I'm sure it's gonna win some Emmys because it's phenomenal. It's very, very all of the things.
Someone literally told me this weekend that I need to be watching The Penguin, I promise you. So that's funny that it was on your
Really?
weekly grab because I promised you. They was like, you don't like The Penguin? I was like, no, you need to watch it. Like, I heard it's, to your point, like a dramatic Batman take, more like
Yes.
adult like not too cartoony, but very much adult like focus. So I'm going to add that to my watch list because I've heard very good things. And
Yes.
Colin Farrell is such a good actor. especially with all that face stuff, like all the face of the makeup and stuff.
He's so good. He's like, I'm so like impressed with him. I mean, but we've always known he's a good actor, but now he's like really like just showing his chops right here, busting his chops right now, because he's just immaculate in this show. So
I'm
yes,
gonna add that.
The Penguin. But yeah, that was a nice diverse roundup of shows for our weekly grab. I'm proud of us. It wasn't just
Right?
reality television and documentaries.
We watch everything here and we watch too much TV because it's all TV and I think you need a break for every housewife show. You need a comedy, you need a drama, you need a documentary.
And just to let you know, that I did watch the documentary I just watched was the Shine documentary on Hulu. The
Ooh.
Honorable Shine, which was it was good. You know, it was good to get more in depth on his story of basically being betrayed by Diddy, and then just how karma is real. Never underestimate karma. It will always come for
Listen.
you. What's done in the dark will come to light. Shine had been professing, you know, he didn't say he was innocent. He just said that he just was defending himself and that he didn't do all of what basically everyone made him out to be, this monster. And it was because, you know, Diddy had went behind the scenes and got people to testify and make it seem like Shine was the one that was just shooting and being crazy that in the nightclub that night. And then come to find out, speed it up to now, where somebody is suing Diddy and claiming that Diddy bragged about framing Shine and bragged about paying people off so that he could walk away free. And so, yeah, it's like Shine was, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
Vindicated.
yes, Shine was vindicated in what he had been saying from all along. So really good documentary, as well as, you know, getting his background story of have he was born in Belize and he was living there for some time and then moved to Brooklyn because he's basically a bastard child. So his father, you know, he's a politician now in Belize, but his dad was a politician. His dad was married to a whole other woman, well, engaged to her at the time he got Shine's mother pregnant. So it
Oh,
was like
wow.
Shine was always kind of like this stain on his marriage because he was conceived through an affair, and the Shine's father, well, you know, like stepmother, but you know, his dad's wife basically didn't want the father having a relationship with Shine because of how he was conceived, and so the mother just felt shunned, and so that's why she left Belize and moved to Brooklyn. And then from there, it's like Shine was just acting out because he just, you know, he didn't have a father figure in his life. So you're just kind of then, yeah, he just was, you know, kind of becoming like this thug in a way, but he also had a passion for rapping. And then that's how he ended up getting into hip hop. And then he got signed. And yeah, so and then you even get to see of how, because he had that reputation of, I love how I just added this Shine documentary to the weekly grab.
Listen, whoa,
And
shibbity
Barrington Levy is in it. But no, last part. So because he had that reputation of sounding like Biggie, people from Junior Mafia didn't like him, and they tried to shoot him. And outside of the Bad Boy Studios, and that's
what?
from, yes, and from there, that's when Shine started carrying guns, and that's why when he went to the nightclub that night, that's why he had the gun. And it was people, his childhood friends from Brooklyn, that got into the altercation with Diddy, and Shine could tell that one of them was about to pull out their gun and go ham, so that's when he pulled out his gun, and he said his lawyer always told him that he should have just tossed his gun, but he didn't. And yeah, and in the end, he was the only one that ended up going to jail for 10 years. Diddy got off, and so did his bodyguard, Wolf, who ended up dying a few years later after a club fight in Atlanta. And you know, there's rumors that Wolf, and this is all alleged, but
Allegedly.
if you look up Anthony Wolf Jones, and then you put in Diddy's son, Justin, the resemblance is striking. And I'll just leave it at that.
Whoa. Shibbity, see,
No, you
you
didn't
can
bring him back
try.
to. Whoa! Whoa!
Much you can say about that.
Whoa!
Ew. see.
All right, on that, let's get into our piss poor performance. All right, best friend, who's on your list?
Ooh, who is on my list is a lady from a Housewives franchise that I know you have personally checked out of. It is Miss Untouched with Reality, Lisa Barlow from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I will say personally, the season is getting better. We do not need Heather Gay. She is a non-mother effing factor. But basically, Bronwyn, who is like one of the best new housewives we've had in a long time, because she's actually rich. She like has real money that she's had before her rich husband. Bronwyn decides to take all the ladies when they fly there on a private jet for her and her husband's 10-year anniversary trip. She pays for the house, she pays for the catering, she pays for the event. But when people are going home, she pays for everyone's flight. But that one flight in particular, they only had two first class seats. So Bronwyn, on her trip, for her and her man, buy them the first class seat. They put Lisa Barlow in coach, and you would have thought they told her ass to walk. What? I'm in coach? I have a clown coach, and I was in college. They don't
Oh
have
my
comfort. They don't
God.
have first class. Oh my God. I can't believe the way she was bitching up. First of all, it was a 45-minute flight. They were in Palm Springs. They're going to Utah. Her husband said, close your eyes. You're going to open them. We're going to be home. So it wasn't even a flight more than an hour that
Right.
she had to
Oh
sit
my
her ass
God.
down. Second of all, you didn't pay for it. You did not pay for anything. This woman had the respect to put you on a private jet there, pay for your accommodations, pay for your food, pay for everything y'all had. And you are bitching about a 45-minute flight after you disrespected her during the trip, where her and Heather got into it. Basically, Bronwyn invited Heather to her house. Was like, look, I don't know if I want to invite you on the trip, but let's talk about it. Heather, of course, didn't listen. Use, the white girl trigger word attack. Didn't listen to Bronwyn. Bronwyn was trying to just say, I just want to know where the disagreement was. Didn't listen to her. Heather calls Lisa. Now, mind you, Lisa and Bronwyn have known each other before Housewives. So Lisa brought Bronwyn in. Heather calls Lisa and Meredith to kind of tell her side of the story before the trip even happens. So Heather, I mean, not Heather, Meredith and Lisa are on this trip like, but you should be friends with Heather because like you don't understand Heather. Bronwyn was like, this is my fucking anniversary trip. I don't want to talk about Heather. She goes to the bathroom, best friend. They FaceTime Heather. We miss you. Wish you were here. And Bronwyn brought up a good point. If Lisa is arguing with somebody and you don't have Lisa's back, you're a horrible friend. But if you're arguing with somebody, Lisa won't listen to both sides. Instead of Lisa just kind of playing Switzerland, like, I hear what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, she kept trying to defend Heather to Bronwyn. So first of all, you come on my trip. You are trying to convince me to be friends with somebody. You're not listening to my side. You're not taking up for me. We're not having a conductive conversation. And then you want to bitch because you're going flying home on a free flight coach for less than 45 minutes. There are starving people in freaking Africa. Don't nobody give a damn about your damn coach seat. So Lisa Barlow, you're piss poor. Also, side note, Heather has not been in the past two episodes. Did not miss her. I would take Monica back before we don't need Heather. She has no storyline. Besides being mad at Monica still and not having a man and losing all that weight for Exempic. So Lisa Barlow's piss poor and fire Heather because we don't need her. We have Whitney and we only need one annoying ex-Mormon. Okay,
We
who's on
really
your piss
don't.
poor?
We really
No.
don't need Whitney, though. I'm so tired of her.
No, Whitney's horrible too. Whitney's horrible too,
I just
but
in her voice, it's just like, oh,
yeah.
like I can't.
If I had to get like, I would keep Whitney if I had to choose between Whitney and Heather.
Oh,
I would
yeah,
choose Whitney. Like if we had to lose one, I mean
agreed.
Whitney is annoying, but at least she has a husband and kids, and she has some sort of Alibaba business. Heather is just Heather, and she's not me. Heather to me is Robin. Don't need you. Thanks. Okay. Who is on your piss for?
My piss poor this week is going to Bree Tizzy of Selling Sunset. I will admit, I really wanted to like this girl, since her debut on the show last season, but I think just everything about her, it matches her hair. It's dark. Her energy, her spirit, her attitude, even in the little moments where you get to see her, like with her ex-husband, Johnny Manziel, it's just coming off like, I don't know. There's just something about her that it's just like, girl, I don't get a good zhuzh, a good juju from you. I get a bad juju from you. I had already talked about her bombarding, bringing Chelsea's husband's infidelity on the show. But the whole thing was, did she set it up, right? Because she shot this scene with a friend who is not on the show, but they're both done up, makeup done, and they shoot these scenes, and their scenes are solely about Chelsea's husband and his activities at the W Hotel in Hollywood. So now everyone is just wondering, and this is now where they're breaking the fourth wall because it's like, Brie, did you know that she was going to share this? Is that why you filmed with her? And Brie is just basically like, no, I didn't know, but nobody was caring this much when Chelsea came for me and my family last season. Because remember, Chelsea came at just the unconventionalness of Brie being okay with being one of Nick Cannon's baby mamas. So yeah, I will say that is karma for to Chelsea. But at the same time, girl, she is married. This is her husband, and they have two children together. This isn't a baby daddy, and you're a baby mama like number eight. This is a whole different situation. And on top of that, that was Chelsea coming directly to you and letting you know that she found, not even, she wasn't dissing Brie or her child. She was just saying, I don't, Nick Cannon having all these kids and broken homes is disgusting. That is what she said. And
And who disagrees?
right, that part. And at the same time, she told Brie that to her face. It wasn't her inviting a friend on the show so they could have this conversation, so it just kind of come off a bit shady. But Brie is just very unapologetic about it. When she does get confronted, she gets very, very defensive, which I find it really funny, because when she gets defensive, it's not like, oh, I feel attacked, right? Where you hear that word used towards Chelsea. When I'm like, Brie is the one that has this really strong, aggressive energy. If anyone should feel, say that they feel attacked, it's by her, but you just don't hear that. Now, granted, I still think she brings a good dynamic to the show because she makes the show good, but that just don't mean that I need to like her. I don't like her. And so for that, she gets my piss poor.
But wait, has she sold a house though, best friend? Like, is she actually a realtor or is she just like.
Now that I think about it, no, I don't think I've ever seen her ring the bell for selling a house. She just shows houses to her, friends and stuff. But again, that could be set up for the show. You've seen Chelsea sell houses, you've seen Chrishell sell houses, you've seen Mary sell houses. I don't think I've ever seen Brie sell a house. And if she did, I would honestly think that it was set up for the show. I
So
really
she's
would.
selling Nick Cannon. That's what she's selling.
Like, it's not enough of it. But yes, all right. But now let's get into who we're rooting for with our yes segment. Who's on your positive list, best friend?
Mine's is gonna be cute, short, and sweet. My yes goes to Karen Huger. Karen, nobody or no, what nothing anybody can say can ever make me hate you. You are the grand dame. I don't care what they say. I don't care that you can't talk about your case. I don't care. You've forgiven
Period.
yourself. Go to rehab. She stopped drinking, unlike Shannon from OC, who had the same thing and still get drunk and don't care and don't feel no way. You can tell Karen genuinely feels remorse. She genuinely feels embarrassed. And every time somebody on this new season tries to bring it up, she's like, don't you do it. You got a problem. You got a problem. You got a problem. So if y'all are trying to make Karen the villain, you can't. It won't work. She is classy. She is, to me, like a better version of Cal from Beverly Hills. Like, Karen needs to be on Potomac as long as Potomac is there because she is classy, sophisticated. She's older, but she's actually like the show. And I just love you, Karen. Let me know if you ever need Uber, let me know. But I just love Karen. She's a breath of fresh air. And I will never hit you. I don't care what they said you did.
I really
Can't run
won't.
for president. Ever. Ever. No
No, I
Karen
love.
Huger slander will
Yeah,
prosper.
I love me some Karen Hugert. Okay,
Ooh.
period. Period.
Period. So you get my yes for life, Karen. Who
Yeah.
is on your weekly crap? I mean, your
My yes. My yes is going to all of the newbies on The Real Housewives of Potomac and The Real Housewives of New York. I really am loving the new energy on Potomac. We have Stacey Rush, Kiana Stewart, and Jazzy Rideau. We also have Jacqueline Blake, but I don't know. She's kind of
She
annoying.
my new best
But
friend. She not
she's
new.
not a
She
real
not new. We're
newbie,
not.
but I
Yeah.
will say that I still, even though she's annoying, I still can appreciate the annoying energy. But it's like the way she is literally up Mia's vajayjay is just like so off-putting.
It's weird. It's
It's
like she wants
extremely
to be like
weird.
a Robin and Giselle, but she can't. It's weird.
It's
It's
like
so
super
weird.
extremely weird, but I really, really like Stacey. Like so far, she seems like she's a fan favorite of the season. A lot of us were already feeling Kiana from her guest appearance last season. And so we're team Kiana. I really like even seeing her go at Mia because she don't play. And we already know, don't ask her about her scar. And Jazzy, there's definitely more to what she got going on with her, the NFL boyfriend and with his the situation with the kids that was born during their relationship.
Yeah, just say it, girl. Just stop being a denial, okay?
Right.
He cheated.
But I like it. Like I really like it. And that's where I think that because they all are bringing something different, right? Because even Kiana's in a relationship. And so we're seeing her with her man and then Stacey and TJ got
Oh, we're
into a
not gonna
situation.
go with Stacey and
There's so much
TJ.
more going on that it's like, wait, Robin's not on the show? Candace isn't on the show? You know what I mean? It's just like it's such a non-factor. So totally feeling them. And then on in New York, which I don't care what people say, I like the new revamped Real Housewives in New York. I'm on the fan list. I don't people are like, I don't get it.
Me too, minus Bryn. Minus Bryn. She
Oh
declasses the
yeah,
show.
I know. But
But
again,
I love it.
you know I'm always a stickler for a good villain. I really don't like Brynn. But I can appreciate when someone is just a good villain and you make us feel so strongly that we hate you because it still makes it good. But yes, yeah, so we have Raquel Chevremont, which what I like is that, she is a lesbian in an openly gay relationship, and we actually get to see it because she's
Yeah.
so popular. I'm Jenna Lyons, and I can't let you see my left because I'm Jenna Lyons. Because I'm sorry, I do like Jenna Lyons, but sometimes I don't get the hype. And I just think that there's just so much more there that it's like, really, girl? Like, I mean, I just bought a Rebecca Minkoff bag from Nordstrom.
Giving Rebecca Minkoff so much like flat.
Yeah,
I'm just
I was like, what
like,
do you mean
I don't get
Nordstrom rack?
it.
Like, we're buying her stuff. Like, we don't know who the hell you are, Brynn. I barely even know what the hell you do. They said something about an app. I don't know what industry sector you work in, and you over here throwing shade at Rebecca. But when I first wrote this down, I hadn't seen the mid-season trailer, so I was saying all the newbies on Roni minus Rebecca because I did think that she was boring. But from this mid-season trailer, it does look like Rebecca calls out Brynn and says the bully act. It's like getting old, and
Yeah.
it does look like more people are coming at Brynn because it's like Brynn, cut the shit, girl. And you're not about that life because you start crying when you get called out. So I'm just feeling what they're bringing. Wait, what else did I have? Being real about who's wrong in a conflict. Yes, that was when Raquel called, noted something about when Brynn basically manipulated Uba into acting out and then calling her an angry black woman. Like Raquel was like, girl, like you kind of created that whole scenario, and then now you're gonna basically call her an angry black woman because you're half black. Don't like it. So I'm here for what they're bringing. We definitely did need some new energy after just the first season. Jessel can do no wrong. I really like Jessel. She's good. Sai, I'm seeing her trying to redeem herself because she came off so angry and hungry in last season. Again, Jenna Lyons is Jenna Lyons, but I do think that she just gets away with like really being don't like contributing nothing. But it's cool. And what's her name? You know who I'm, Erin.
Oh yeah, Erin. Erin's pregnant with her fourth baby.
Yes, and I like her husband. I do like him. When he was talking about he's not gay, but he was
He
he
thought about
questioned.
it.
Yeah, he thought about it in college. I was like, I would never heard a man openly admit that. So shout out to Aaron's husband for just keeping it real. So yeah, I like the show. I don't care what nobody says. I'm always team new Roni. So yeah.
Me too. I like it. I love the energy. I think it's a really good show. And the same for House Husband. I like the mix. Like, I don't think you need to get rid of everybody on like a RHOP. I like how they
Right.
mixed it and it makes sense. I don't think they could have done that in Roni. I can't see Luann, Dorinda, and Ty and Erin. So I do think we needed a revamp, especially being in New York. Like, I love it. But to your point, I think we like this new energy. Maybe one or two people need to go, but the newbies are well chosen. And also, Rebecca Minkoff is a Jewish Scientologist. Very interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Like very. So, yes. Okay.
That I want to get into.
Right. I think we will. I think we're going to hear more about this in the very, very near future. But all right. We've been having such a good time that we haven't set our prompts, but please don't forget to like and subscribe. Follow us on all social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That is TEA with the letter B. And like and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. We also have a YouTube. We've been doing more video episodes this season, so you can also see our pretty face.
And turn
And
on your notifications so that you can get
yes.
notified when we make new posts, when we post anything, and let us know what we should be watching, what you recommend us to watch. Comment in our comment section because we will watch the show if y'all want us to watch it. I'll try anything almost once
We
when it
will.
comes to TV. I'll try at least one show. Like, let me try this documentary about animals. See how y'all like it.
Yes. So on that note, let's get into our positivity.
All right, Sean. She's in a musical
That's
Okay.
Jerodlyn Ripperton, don't sleep on it. Thank you.
I am done, Jocelyn Bridgers. Oh my gosh. Okay. My positive quote is, "You've done it before and you can do it now. See the positive possibilities. Redirect the substantial energy of your frustration and turn it into positive, effective, unstoppable determination," by Ralph Marston.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah. Thank you, Ralph, so much. And what's yours?
Mine is style is a way to say who you are without having to speak by Coco Chanel. Because
On
on
Pinterest.
Pinterest, because no matter what happens, all you have to do is make sure that you look good and everything will work itself out. I promise.
Ooh.
And on that note, best friend, what is our closing slogan?
Love, abundance, and hair bundles that'll be on sale for Black Friday, so y'all don't need to be cheap.
Oh yeah, I should probably get some. Even though I have good bundles in, but you know, it's always good to have a backup.
Girl, especially with the new colors. Like, just get me some extra bundles. They're gonna be on sale. Why not?
I love your new color. It's so good. It's
Thank
so
you. We're doing the natural hair. I can't wait. I'm a redhead now. Get used to it, guys. I'm a redhead.
Get into it. All right, y'all. So we will be back next week. And if we talked about a show that you haven't watched and now you're curious, go watch it and let us know what you think. Bye.
Yes. Enjoy your holidays, bye guys.
Bye.